Stay tuned for the second hour of the Dr. and Mrs. Future Show on KSCO. Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. Ladies and gentlemen, KSCO presents the Dr. Future Show. If you would like to join in our show today, you can call us at 831-479-1080. That's 831-479-1080. And now, your host, Dr. Future.
Hey, folks. Welcome back to the show. The summertime. Usually this time of year, we're not here. Usually we're up in Canada, enjoying time with our friends and relatives and letting someone else do the show. But we're here. We're here, and we have summer visitors here in the summer. And as one of them is visiting us now, who also happens to be very much involved with light therapy. Light therapy, one of our favorite topics of the show. And Jan Jansen?
Yes.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Now, Jan's an interesting lady in that she's been traveling a lot around the world. You were just in South Africa earlier this year.
In December.
December,
India for a month in November.
All before this whole COVID thing
hit. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Actually, before the COVID thing hit, I was in, I took my daughter over to Honolulu for a week to visit an old friend over there. And we got back on the 25th of February, and she went home on the 28th. And actually, we never heard anything about a shutdown
in Hawaii
or anything anywhere. Even I live in Apache Junction, Arizona, and I never heard anything about it up until first week in March.
Yeah,
but I don't listen to the news. I'm a un-news junkie.
Right? Yeah, you're out of the room.
I haven't even owned a TV in 17 years.
Now, it's kind of interesting. You're in light therapy, considering where you were an iron worker.
Yes, 25 years.
25 years. Really, back before women were really in that field.
Absolutely. In fact, I got into the apprenticeship in 1976 in North Dakota, and I'm still the only woman ironworker from North Dakota. And that local has since been absorbed into 512 Minneapolis, so it doesn't even exist anymore.
Well, what was the hardest part about breaking in as a woman in that male-dominated field?
Well, I don't think I had a real hard time. I grew up on a ranch in North Dakota, and I was used to working from about the time I was seven, as many hours a day as we could stay awake and work out in the fields and doing chores around the ranch.
So you've been working a lot around men all the time.
Yeah, I grew up with four boys and a bunch of hired men, and I never let them harass me or do anything negative against a woman because I was out there doing the same work they were.
Oh, so did you have to correct some men in their behaviors?
A couple of times I did over the 25 years. Some of the guys that didn't believe me, I said, one more word out of you, I'm grabbing your butt and we're going to the superintendent's office and you're going to have two checks when we're done. A couple of them didn't believe me, but they went down the road.
And you were like 6'3".
I was 6'3" in my work boots and a redhead. How many people do you know are dumb enough to tackle that more than once?
Yeah. You worked on some big construction projects?
I went through my apprenticeship in North Dakota working on three powerhouses, all over 400 foot high.
Wow.
From doing the rebar groundwork for the footings to topping off parties, I worked on all the aspects of it. And
in San Francisco, too?
Yeah, in 1980, I decided it was time to boom out, and I worked in a coal mine in Montana for 6 months. And then I got laid off the last day in September. I called the hall in Anchorage, and I called the hall in San Francisco, and they both had work, so I flipped a coin.
And you San Francisco won, huh?
And here I am.
Right.
In fact, one of the first jobs I worked on here in California was at the cement plant north of Davenport.
Really?
Oh, where the fire is now.
Yeah, Yeah, that's what I heard.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Is that they were converting from coal to oil, like that, something like that?
Yeah, one of the two, and yeah. The tower was like 7 stories high there, so it was fun to go sit up on top of that at lunchtime and watch the whales going by.
I see, yeah, not afraid of heights, eh?
Nah, I love it. I've been hanging off the side of a 50-story in San Francisco because nobody else would get out there and do what needed to be done.
Oh, boy, I bet the folks here would let you climb the towers if you needed to, if they could come up with a job for you.
I'm getting too old to do that anymore.
Oh,
I'm retired.
Okay.
I retired in 2003, but I've unretired at least 8 or 9 times since then. So.
Since the hardest thing.
Unretired from, I noticed that you didn't go back to being an iron worker. You've been what are we calling you here, a health coach since 1968?
Yeah, I've been a health coach since 1968 mm-hmm. and a photojournalist since 1958, so I continued doing those. I did those all the while I was an iron worker, too, so...
Yeah, I just love that. It really makes me appreciate how wide your range is, right? From being solid on the ground, on the earth, constructing reality with cement and iron, and really taking care of your body from
right.
a spiritual and physical point of view.
Yep, they're both equally important.
And be a photographer as well. You were at the Palmasan Winery taking pictures of the...
Yeah, I've been a photographer since I was 7, actually. My first camera for Christmas was a Brownie box camera when I was 7. Mm. Mm. So I've been shooting for 70 years.
I've heard of those.
I even have one. A lady that I did some work for in North Carolina gave me a pristine Brownie box camera in... the original box with instructions.
Oh, really? Oh, what a memento.
Yeah.
Wow.
Fabulous camera.
Yeah. Get that in a dark room and we'll be all set.
I had a dark room up until 2007 when I finally relented to go digital. And I was like, geez, why did I wait so long?
Well, you don't like, the stop baths and developer.
They're very toxic.
Dectol, pyrimethamphenol sulfate, hydroquinone.
They're very toxic. I had to put a very big fan in my darkroom because the chemicals really affected me a lot.
Yes, I just loved Microdol.
Between those chemicals and welding, I was a pretty toxic mess for a long time.
So does this inspire you to get more into the health world after experiencing some personal health
I'd say you
issues?
Became an expert in detoxing.
Oh, yeah. I was. In 1997, when I was working in North Carolina, I figured out that I had fibromyalgia. Somebody said, well, how many doctors did you have to go to find that out? And I said, I don't do doctors unless I'm on a stretcher. I did research and found out just how bad heavy metals were in the body. And after welding for 22 years, I had a big load of them. Plus, I had a whole mouth full of amalgams, those silver fillings that are over half mercury.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Did you get them all taken out?
I got them all taken out and 3 nickel crowns replaced with biocompatible materials.
Wow.
And started detoxing, really heavy duty. There's a really good product called HMD from detoxmetals.com that I use. It's probably one of the best things.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about the detox after our commercial break.
Thank
you. We'll be right back. Sure. I'm talking to Jan Jensen.
And you can check her out on wealthychoices.net, WELLTHY.
Hey, all right, welcome back.
Armani Cat. I know him.
Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah, the music?
Yeah. No, I know Charlie. I've met him at quite a few blues festivals and at the Monterey Jazz Festival, and I used to hang out with him on Maui.
Ken, I'm going to ask you to pull your mic a little closer.
All right.
All right,
thanks.
Right. Okay, that's where you were a rock and roll photographer and you got to know him? Or?
Yeah. I started 1986. I got hurt when I was working on a job in San Jose, and I ended up having back surgery.
As an iron worker.
Yeah. And
you fell off a building or something?
I was hanging on a platform off the side of a really big beam, and there was something slippery on the bottom of my shoe or my boot, and my right foot slipped off the side of the platform, and when my safety belt caught me, it jammed my back pretty hard, and it ruptured L3, L4, and S1 discs in my back.
Wow. That laid you out for a while?
That was a life changer, huh?
Yeah. Neurosurgeon. Oh, I went to the chiropractor right after work, and he said, I think there's something going on with your back. You probably should see a doctor tomorrow. And the next morning when I woke up, I couldn't even move. And I called him up. There was a phone next to my bed, and I said, Doc, I can't even move. I can't get out of bed. I can't do much of anything at this point. And he said, well, you need to go see a neurosurgeon, and I'll make a call and see if we can get you into somebody today. And he did.
Well, how old were you then?
86.
You're only 86?
1986, so yeah. I would have been 43.
Okay, so pretty much.
Yeah.
Healthy specimen at that
I was going to be impressed if you were 86 then.
It's because you're welding.
I was going to be here 1986. And the doc said, yeah, we did an MRI and discovered those ruptured discs. And he said, I want you to go to bed for a month and not get up to do anything. Go get a bedpan, have somebody bring your meals. And I said, ain't happening, doc. I live by myself. So I had to roll out of bed and crawl to the bathroom and into the kitchen to fix something to eat. And in a month's time, my right leg atrophied 3/8 of an inch.
Wow.
And a friend came and took me back, and he said, you got two choices, a wheelchair or surgery. And I said, when are we doing it?
Now, wasn't there rehab? I mean, for that? I guess not, huh?
No, not really. He really did a good job fixing the ruptured discs, but it had caused a lot of nerve damage down my right leg and a lot of atrophy, so it took a while for it to get back into functioning action. The day I got out of the hospital, I quit taking drugs of any kind. I don't like drugs. And for the next 5 days, I didn't get any sleep. I was on severe drug withdrawals. Because I'd been on Demerol for a month before surgery because the pain was excruciating.
You decided not to do it?
No more drugs. The night before I got out of the hospital, I finally screamed at them enough that they gave me an enema, and it totally filled up the toilet. They had to call somebody.
Really?
It was literally full.
Wow.
And I was like, no more drugs. So that's pretty much the last prescription I filled, except for one thing, for antibiotics, ever since then.
So that was part of your healing path? What came next? You said you were talking about detox earlier. Was that part of the process of recuperating from...
Yeah, how did you go from being sort of an iron worker and maybe sort of having normal allopathic relationship to health? Like, you go to the doctor if you're sick. The rest of the time, you don't worry about it too much, but you're not necessarily a health nut.
Even then, if I got... Well, I did a regular chiropractic tune-up twice a month. I go to Activator Chiropractors. It's the only kind I've gone to since 1981. You can go to activator.com and type in the zip code of wherever you're at and find a really good Activator Chiropractor anywhere in the United States.
So these are people who work with you physically to make sure you're in good alignment.
Yes, and they have a little thing that taps your vertebrae back in place, and an Activator Chiropractor can work on your head, on your neck, on your wrists, your fingers, your knees, your ankles. They can tune up your whole body really quickly.
Great. And so that was your regular health practice?
Yes.
Every couple weeks.
And acupuncture.
Uh-huh.
And where were you living then?
I was in Los Gatos.
Oh, right in our neighborhood.
Yeah.
Our listening area.
Yeah.
All right.
In fact, I was in Los Gatos for the earthquake in 89. That was a very moving experience.
Yes, you're very close to Loma Prieta there. So detox.
I went to Dr. Buttar, who's become quite famous lately.
Yes, he's been on the news about the virus.
Yeah. Yes.
What's his major propositions?
I did chelation when I went to him.
Yeah.
He cured his son of autism, who I think he was around 6 or 7 when he started working on his son, and he's totally cured him of autism. He's a healthy, bright, vibrant young man these days, going to college. EDTA and chelation, I did far infrared sauna, steam saunas, zeolite, changed to mostly raw food diet, and meditating every day, getting plenty of sleep. There's a lot of good homeopathics that you can take if you're having sleep problems. Also, one of the major problems for sleep is poor breathing. Mm. I worked with a gentleman back in 2002 in North Carolina who's got a website called breathing.com.
Hmm. Breathing.com, really? He's got that? Well, he's must have been into it for a long time.
And he's fabulous. He started out in San Francisco going to a lot of gatherings where doctors were talking about their most difficult patients and what they could do to help them. And after sitting there for quite a few months, he stood up one day and he said, "You know, I've been here listening to you gentlemen for 3 months now, and not once has anybody ever mentioned breathing. Why?" If you don't breathe for 3 minutes, what happens?
You turn blue.
You start dying. Lack of oxygen. So how important is breathing in the overall scope of your health?
Well, it's probably
number one
in terms of survival, right?
Last week, when I was in Los Osos visiting a friend, there was a young lady that came to the house, and she was having a lot of trouble walking and talking because she was a major wreck. Her family had been going through a lot of harassment and things, but she was having terrible anxiety and panic attacks, and I got her out of that in about 15 minutes by changing her breathing and giving her some simple exercises to do. Every time she started feeling a little panicky, just put both thumbs in the back of your spine and put your fingers around the sides and breathe deeply, like you're going to breathe into your belly button.
And that calms you down, huh?
Breathe into about a count of 6 or 8, hold it for 4 or 5 seconds, and then breathe out for 8 to 10 count. And that can take you out of a panic attack in about 5 minutes.
Oh, boy, I bet that's really relevant for people in this day and age.
Absolutely.
We've been in lockdown for 6 months now, and a lot of people feel like fear is more real than ever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was visiting a friend in Los Osos who's got a whole new way of thinking, and she's created a social architecture that I think can make a huge difference in the way everybody on this planet relates to each other. Mm-hmm. A lot of it's already in place. It's a matter of connecting all the circles in our lives and making them work to the best advantage for everybody. Mm-hmm. And
you mean like circles of professional people, you know, or friends?
Even your friend circles, your women's circles, your writers health circles, any kind of a circle. If you go to FrankieLeeSlater.com, she has some really interesting information on there. And on my WealthyChoices.net website, I did an introduction to Frankie a couple days ago, and it pretty much gives the basis of her studies for the last 30 years. She's been on the road in more than 200 homes across, I think, 6 states.
Yes, she passed by here a few years ago.
Yeah, that's how I met you guys, through her. And
we're in her circle.
She's an amazing person.
A meta-connector.
She's a meta-connector.
Connect all the circles within circles.
Oh, I am too. Yeah. When I moved from California to North Carolina in 1994, I had 3 shoeboxes full of business cards.
What do you do with them all?
They were all yours?
I still have them. Yeah.
Are they from people or are they from you because you do so many things?
Everywhere I go, I collect business cards. I'm taking pictures. I'm talking about health. I go to tradeswomen conferences all over the country. That's what I was doing in India in November, was visiting Arcana Women's Center in Khatiyam, Kerala province, India, where they teach women to be bricklayers, block layers, carpenters, and electricians. And they've been doing that for 30 years. Mm. Wonderful people over there. Mm. Wonderful people.
Mm. So training women in these pragmatic skills that...
Yeah, that they can support their families and not be poor.
Oh, very interesting.
They're building housing in poor areas that got flooded 2 years ago.
Huh. So we're about to go to a break, and then we've got a few callers. So how about we come back, and then we'll turn you over to the audience. Is that okay, Jan?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right.
Great. Jan Jansen and Dr. Future Show.
We'll be right back.
Time to fly.
Welcome back to the Dr. and Mrs. Feature Show. And I think Bobby's still there, out there. Yeah, there he is.
I'm still here.
Good. Very good. Okay, well, we're open to questions for Jan. Anybody wants to give us a call at 479-1080, area code 831, please do. Now, when did you get interested in light therapy, Jan?
A friend introduced me to light therapy in 2010 when I was living in Charlotte. A really good friend of hers, an RN, had just come back from working for 6 months in hospitals in Switzerland and for a year in hospitals in Germany to learn how they use light therapy over there.
Wow. What kind of light therapy? Are you talking about something where you bathe in the light, or you put it in your mouth, or what?
Some of all of the above. What I'm using is a neoprene pad that has red and infrared lights or blue and infrared lights. Mm. And there's 10 different settings that you can use. I use two a lot, which is for inflammation and swelling. Mm. Most pain and discomfort in the body is caused by inflammation and swelling. So if you're doing light therapy along with turmeric, and avoiding nightshades, tomatoes, potatoes, red peppers, green peppers, eggplant, those all have leptins in them, and that really aggravates arthritis.
Yeah.
So when I broke my femur in 2013, I used the blue light therapy every 4 hours on my left femur where I broke it, right about crotch level. And I was up walking without a cane in 3 months.
And you test that to the,
yeah,
to the blue light?
Yeah, totally to the lights. Hmm. And then the day I got off rehab for that, I was helping at a music event, and I had to step up on an 8-inch riser to hand raffle tickets to the person at the microphone. And not even thinking about that I was on the riser, I turned around and started walking away, and bam, landed full body weight with my camera on my left knee and broke it.
Oh, boy.
Right where the femur joins the bones below it.
So those are pretty hardcore injuries to be
normally
treated with light.
That was terrible. Yeah. And the next morning I had to go back to the doctor, and he took out two humongous syringes full of blood that had, I broke a blood vessel in my knee somewheres, and he had to drain that, and I was up half the night screaming. It hurt so bad, no matter what I did. Then I just kept on doing the lights every 4 hours, and it was amazing how quick it hurt. It healed. But I still wore a brace on my leg for 8 or 9 weeks after that.
Yeah, but enough so that you started to do therapy with others.
Yeah.
We have a caller, Mrs. Future.
We have Frankie Lee on the line. Hi, Frankie Lee.
I'm his son.
Hey, Frankie.
Well, thanks for the introduction to Jan. She's just wonderful. We're really enjoying getting to know her.
Hello.
Yeah, bright spirits. Hi, Jan.
Hi.
Oh,
glad you called in.
First of all, thanks for sharing about what we're up to. It's, you know, such a beautiful illustration that you're all there together. You know, sometimes the solutions, and I feel so much at this time on the planet, are a lot simpler than we complex human beings may realize. And it really comes down to treating each other as our people, and you all demonstrated so beautifully. I just suggested, get together, and you've been hanging out, and now the radio show, and it's so much more accessible.
Following our cues, you know, I mean, we know you're a connector person. And, you know, that's one thing that Facebook forgot, was working with the people who actually connect people.
Yeah.
You know, and that's still, I trust that more than Facebook in terms of making connections.
Yeah, if anything, there's been this kind of creeping backstory in the popular belief system that we're all isolated and alone, and that we need to be afraid of each other, and that we don't have the power to solve our problems. And your message is just the opposite. It's like, no, we're all connected, and we know each other, and someone we know, or 6 degrees of separation, has the exact information that we need for whatever problem it is we're trying to solve.
Yeah, and I bet
every
person, no matter how social or non-social they are, knows a connector person to help them with the larger movie that they're part of.
You know? And the thing we're seeing now, too, is that there's a kind of literacy to it that maybe for us is second nature now, but hasn't necessarily been broken down for people in a way that they can access it. So pretty much everybody knows there's something called for and that it has something to do with finding our way together. But the actual taking steps so that you can get the benefits of not exhausting yourself trying to do so much on your own and getting, you know, like this wealth of understanding and wisdom that Jan brings is so, you know, clear. Mm-hmm. And people are suffering from fear and not knowing, and maybe they've not really ever taken on their health because it seems like such a gargantuan thing to do. But, you know, when you have people who've gone before and they're really, you know, have lived it, they're not just in concept and they're not trying to preach any kind of way. They're showing you the actual natural principles that apply.
As someone who's known Jan for a long time, is there anything you'd like to ask her on the air?
Well, you know, I haven't known her that long. We've known each other for 2 years. We met extemporaneously.
That's it, really?
At a place called Arcasante.
You met at Arcasante?
Yeah, we met there in the gift store, and it was an immediate, literally, she turned around and she said, "There you are."
Oh, there you are. And I'd never seen her before. Yeah.
There you are.
Oh, there you are. I was like, where's that coming from?
And I looked and you saw
and
this.
And then I went to live with her for 3.5 months. So I guess I would ask Jan, on the most essential level, what has she learned from being out with so many people that she would want people to have access to that would make a difference in their lives?
Go out and have a walk in nature today and take your mask off. You don't need it outside. And smile at everybody you walk by. And go to bed with this little simple smile on your face and just watch your attitude change in the next couple of days.
Very practical.
Think about the things that you're grateful and write them down, actually. If you write a list of 10 things you're grateful for before you go to bed, wake up in the morning, look at that list, make some more for today.
So just putting it out there brings in the grateful experience.
What you're grateful for comes. What you focus on is what you get. So if you focus on the things you're grateful for, you're going to get more of it.
And I would say, just my observation about Jan, you know, his presence. She stayed here at the house where I've been hosted the last 5 weeks she was with us. And I've been on the road for 9 years and 200 households and really been able to see what people are dealing with, including yours, several times. So thank you. She's just naturally contributes. She naturally becomes part of the fabric and recognizes it. And what she did to contribute to my health, my solace, showing up when I had felt pretty isolated out on the road for peers and the garden and watering the garden. You know, there aren't that many people that would come and stay in the back houses like an Airbnb and contribute. There must, you know, so many people are there for themselves, and her way of being there for herself is to be there for other people. And I feel like that's where humanity is being asked to move to.
It's really interesting that now Jan's on the road again and sharing her gifts with whoever she runs into.
I am. Coffee shops, restaurants, everywhere.
Oh, and it's just so fun that, you know, this is how you like to spend your time. Is go out and meet people and see where they're at and become part of the scene.
And you've done this all over the world, huh?
Well, in 2016, I bought a 31-foot Coachman motorhome, and I was on the road for the next 2.5 years in 34 states.
Wow.
By myself.
And so did you find that America is a really scary place where everybody should be afraid of the institutionalized injustices that are defining our character?
What the hell is that? Excuse me.
Just checking. You know, it's a reality quiz.
No. I mean, the people everywhere I've met are wonderful. They're really wonderful. And I might have run into one or two that were not conscious of how much noise they were making, or the fact that they ran their AC 24/7 was really bothering the whole rest of the RV park. And the manager had a little chat with them, and things got quieted down. But for the most part, I think Everywhere I've been, people are really wonderful.
Mm-hmm. What about all this fear around the virus?
I think the virus is fear. And that's the media's, from what I've seen, the media's attention is making sure that everybody's good and scared.
Yeah.
Everybody else. And it's so sad.
It's so sad because, of course, everybody wants to help people who aren't well. But we've never before convinced the healthy people that they're not well.
Yeah.
And that the healthy people need to be afraid of the other healthy people. And that this is the big hypnosis that we're all fighting.
Yeah. Yeah. I think history's going to look back on this time with abhorrent shudders and go, oh, my God, what were we doing to each other? Mm. And for what?
I'd like to throw something in that I've noticed, and I was thinking you probably had as well. Mm-hmm. I sit still a lot. I contemplate a good portion of every day. So when all of this happened, the first word of social distancing for we who have been social intimacy people, you know, advocates for so long, I watched it kind of come in like a weather system. And I recognized something, which is that we've heard for a long time, any of us who've been looking at different cyclical things about the time and all the way back, harmonic convergence, et cetera, that the time would come where this mass opening would happen in society, that the kind of the field would be ready for everything that we've been going deep to bring. And it seems like that to me. It's like I could watch the synchronizing happening, that there's a greater promise that's actually here with us.
Right, right. Yeah, I think the
conversation for that.
I see it as the archetype of the phoenix rising from the ashes, that a new structure is forming as the old one dissolves.
Yes.
We ever do. Yeah. Okay, we got to go to a break.
All right.
We'll be right back with Jan Jensen and
Frankie Lee Slater
on the line.
And callers to the KSCO Dr. Future Show.
All right.
Stay tuned. Little runaway, I was blind. Yeah, running down a dream that never would come to me. Working on a mystery.
I believe. Welcome back to the Dr. and Mrs. Fusion Show. We have Jan Jensen in the studio. We have Bobby Wilder on the line in San Francisco.
We got Frankie Lee Slater called in from L.A.
And Jen, yeah, so welcome everyone back to the show.
Thank you.
And just as a sort of a comedic relief, you told a very funny story when you were working as an iron worker. And
I want to remind you not to cuss when you tell this story.
I'll try.
And I asked you, you're around all these men all the time, and they can, you know, I've always thinking of the construction guys as whistling at the women on the street and stuff like that as a normal thing. But then you said, no, you told me a story where you stopped them from doing that. Can you tell that story briefly?
We were building the new Neiman Marcus building in Union Square in San Francisco.
Yeah.
And one day I came up on, I don't remember, fifth or sixth floor, and the guys were all lined up against the wall. And I kind of, as I walked up, I noticed that there was two or three rooms and a building across the street where models were changing their clothes.
Oh.
Where they had been doing fashion shows and they came up and changed clothes really quick. And
good view on the construction site here.
That's quite an interesting view, it was. Even though I'm a woman, I appreciate a good-looking body as much as anybody. But one of the idiots standing next to me started whistling and screaming, and I jammed him in the rib with my elbow, and I said, "You dummy, now they're all pulling the shades down. Look what you did." You'd have just been quiet. We'd have had a nice view for months.
Oh, wow. The Neiman Marcus building, huh?
I have to say, I'm so relieved that it's almost safe to allow comedy again. I really feel for 6 months, people have been afraid to crack a joke.
Yeah.
Your face doesn't break, smile.
Now, you outlined other important things to pay attention to. We only got a few minutes here, so get on your list. Water.
Water? Oh, absolutely. Drink lots of clean, fresh, pure water. Make sure it's not fluoridated. I use a reverse osmosis filter at home. In fact, I got a whole house reverse osmosis filter. And the water in the shower and the water in the laundry is much nicer. Doesn't have a lot of minerals and gunk in it.
Yeah,
and,
yeah, that's not so good
your
for
body
plants,
absorbs
right?
It better.
It's good for people, but not so good for plants.
Oh,
right?
It's good for plants.
Plants
too.
Like
it's good
yeah.
for
and
plants.
My cat
yeah.
won't. Yeah. My cat wouldn't drink regular tap water. She only drank RO water.
Oh, okay.
So they're very smart.
See, I always thought it was like stripped of all of the things that give water. Sort of
not really
health qualities.
If you feel like you're not getting a lot of minerals, you can always buy liquid trace minerals and put a teaspoon in a quart.
Right. So it's better to start by getting rid of all the toxins and then add what you
Absolutely.
Want back in.
Yes.
Sure. Okay. That yes. makes sense.
Okay. We talked about breathing. What about, and you have something called frequency healing. And we have a caller, too, right?
We do. We have another caller. So
okay.
Let's see what they have to say.
Okay. This is Anne Marie in Watsonville. Hi, Anne Marie. Welcome to the show.
Hey there.
Hi. Thank you. I always enjoy you guys. I just hope you don't mind. I just jump in and have to comment on the construction workers in San Francisco. Sometimes political correctness has really taken a lot of the spice out of our chili. I used to love every day walking by the construction site because they're whistling.
They appreciate pretty women and they don't care how old they are. They just appreciate.
That's true. Appreciation doesn't have to be offensive, does it?
Nope.
It's really just about how did the women feel about themselves and about that energy. And if they feel comfortable with it, then, you know, it should be a mutual fan club.
Well, sometimes I think they're wound just a little too tight for anybody else's comfort. But also I wanted to comment on the Pidgin English saying that was referred to. The saying, because it's my favorite, is smile. It not going to broke your face.
Yep. Good for you.
Thank you.
I like that.
Yeah.
Thanks,
Amory. That's a good one. I like that.
So frequency healing. What can you tell us about
well,
that?
Well, there's a lot of things that fall into that category.
The light therapy is a frequency healing?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I also have a new technology based on Tesla's studies.
Really?
EMF protection for my phone, an earthing card that I wear in my bra or in my pocket or around my neck on a lanyard. And they have things for relief and burn belly fat, and they have a CBD embedded patch and some new ones called Wow, which I don't even know what they do yet, but they're
Wow. Huh?
They're all based on Tesla technologies, and they do what they say they're going
to
do.
It's supposed to protect you from the electromagnetic radiation
Absolutely.
Of your phone, that sort of thing?
It does.
Yeah.
I was starting to develop a bone spur in my left thumb and in the joint at the top. It was going when I bent it, and I got the EMF shields on my phone, and that stopped.
Hmm. So I guess it somehow blocks out negative radiation that's bad for you, and
yes.
maybe even polarizes it so that you just get the good stuff.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about any good stuff, and EMF pollution's a pretty massive problem right now. I think personally, and from what I've read, a lot of places where 5G towers have been activated is where the most COVID cases are being diagnosed.
Sure. Yeah, we've done a few shows on that, actually.
The studies prove that your body, your cells throw out toxins that mimic coronavirus from EMF pollution.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody's ever said anything about that on the media.
Well, we'll investigate that a little bit further.
Yeah.
You were also saying something that one of the problems with masks was that they were collecting toxins being exported from the body.
They're right in your face,
yeah.
and you're breathing it back in again. And I think a lot of that is causing COVID-type symptoms, too, because those toxins are supposed to be breathed out. Everybody benefits from the built-up immune system. from that. And now when that's not happening, there's a lot more sickness than before the masks were started.
Sure, back to the idea of breathing again, that your inhale and your exhale have two different functions in the body.
Yes.
The inhale is supposed to give you fresh, clean air, and the exhale is supposed to take the wastes out of your system.
Yes. It's, like
so
breathing
if you're catching them before they leave, so how can that be good for you?
Well, you say it's like breathing your exhaust?
It stops your breathing function by about 87%. You're breathing back in carbon dioxide instead of oxygen.
Hmm. Yes. Can you all still hear me?
Yes, we hear you.
Yes. We say about, you know, if you go to Jan's site, which Sun said earlier, wealthychoices.net, you can stay up to date about how co-creativity and coming together at the next level can really serve making good choices and understanding yourself as creative. Whenever we go to authority outside of ourselves, kind of reeling it back in and finding where in ourselves we can get creative and come together and get the benefits of it. So,
yeah.
And we have a Circles Uniting group on Facebook/Circles Uniting and Circles Uniting Global. And I invite Sun and Alan, both of you, to get active with us now that we're going to the global level, and Jen can tell you more in person. And please do rely on all of us.
Yeah, because we just have about 2 minutes left in the show. So
there's a lot of breathing information on my website and things on water. There's books on raw foods, on dehydration, on sprouting. I'm working on a green smoothies book. And if I ever get off the road, I'll get back being busy again. But I can do some while I'm on the road, too.
So what's next on the road for you, Will?
I'm planning on heading up to Klamath Falls, Oregon. I've been using E3 Live Super Blue Green Algae products since 2002. I met the folks that run that place at a raw food festival in New York in 2002, and I want to go see how they do it, and I've got some friends that live up there, too. And from there, probably on to North Dakota and visiting relatives.
Wow.
Maybe back to Arizona for the winter by mid-October.
Yeah, when it starts to get a little chilly up in your homeland there in North
Dakota. I don't do winter.
North Dakota. Well, you're from North Dakota. It's been
I know, but I haven't lived there since 1980.
Oh, dear. Okay, yeah. It's like me being in Montreal.
Yeah.
You know, not in the winter.
Yeah.
Very good.
All right. And, well, you know, Frankie, since we have you here, would you like to promote your website, too?
I just put Welcome to Wealthy Choices up on the DrFutureShow.com/links.
Yeah,
so
well.
We have that. And then,
yes, and of course, Frankie Lee is the current featured article there on the Wealthy Choices website blog. But Circles United, we have done shows on that in the past, and it's nice to talk to you again, Frankie Lee.
And
where can people tune in?
Just so you remember, we're in action versus an arrived at thing.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for being on the show. Good to hear from you.
Yeah.
And enjoy this wonderful hot day.
All right. Well, you can find Frankie Lee Slater on LinkedIn, folks.
Yeah.
And thank you so much, Jan. It's been a pleasure talking with
you. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jan. That was wonderful.
Yeah. This brings back memories. I used to have a radio show in 1963 and again in 73.
Oh. Uh-huh.
So.
Yeah, they still look like a radio studio.
It does. That hasn't changed a lot except for the control board.
Yeah, well, this one's designed for a big band. That's why you have so much room behind you. 1947.
What a great idea. I bet you Don McCaslin's played in here then, too.
He could be. I'll have to ask Charlie. He's on before us. He would know.
This is KSCO Santa Cruz.